Today, we'll do something a bit different. I thought I might tell you a story. Would you like that? Yeah? Would you? Are you sure? Well, best storytellers always sit down, don't they? I may need some help afterwards. Are we all comfortable? Then I'll begin. Once upon a time, good stories always start that way, don't they? There was a young prince, wasn't more than 33 years old. And he lived with his father in a beautiful place. But he'd fallen in love with someone in another world not very far away. And he was intending to marry his bride from this other place. Sadly, there was a very vile and wicked person who held a lot of sway in this other world. And although this young prince had sent a wedding dress to his bride, it was like his own, a beautiful white wedding dress, a robe that was perfect, fitted perfect, embroidered in gold. It was absolutely magnificent. And he wore it impeccably. It was a perfect fit because he was a perfect man. But he'd sent one very similar to his bride in this place not too far away. But there was this evil, vile person in this other world who was full of jealousy and hatred. And not only did he hate this young prince because he thought he ought to have this young prince's place in the scheme of things, but he also hated the bride that this young prince had chosen. So he caused her all sorts of problems because she was within his reach. Abused her, beat her, tore her dress, stained it, and even turned her against the young prince. And he was so sad. And he talked it over with his father in this beautiful place that he lived. And he said, "Father, I'm going to go and rescue my bride." Now, although the place where the bride was not very far off, it was almost impossible for any person to get there. The jungles were impenetrable. The mountains were too high. The valleys were chasms that were too deep. And yet this young prince determined he was going to go. He said, "Father, what I'm going to do, I will go and I will take her dirty dress from her and give her my beautiful, clean, and perfect dress." So he went and he got scratched in the jungle and he got beaten by the evil people in this place not too far away. He said to his father before he went, he said, "I'll give her this dress and I will bring her back to live with us. Is this all right, Father?" And Father said, "Yes." And so he went. And he went to take his bride. And he brought his bride back in shining, embroidered beautifully, robes of righteousness to dwell forever in this place with his father. A place called heaven. A place called heaven. That's what I'm going to preach on this morning. You do realize I'm talking about Jesus and the church. Glory. Let me read from Luke chapter 20. Just a few verses. Verse 27 to 38. From Luke chapter 20. Then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. There were therefore seven brethren, and the first took a wife and died without children. And the second took her and died without children, and the third took her, and in like manner the seventh also, and they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall obtain shall be accounted worthy to obtain the world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal to the angels, and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush, when he called the Lord the God of Abram and Isaac, and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living. For all live unto him. Mighty God that created everything is not a God of the dead, he's a God of the living. That's why I tend to be a bit mischievous. I've passed the age when I'm supposed to make jokes and dance around. But God's keeping me going and giving me more life every day. You're going to have to work hard to keep up with me. I actually just been away for a couple of days, courtesy of Linda and Graham. And Saturday morning, I was first up, and Linda eventually emerged saying, oh, that was too much for me. Praise God. Bowness will never be the same. John 14 verse 3 says, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is God's plan for every single one of us, that he is indeed going to give us a robe of righteousness, and he is going to take us to this place called heaven, where God the Father lives, where the angels are, where the cherubims are, and we're going to have a great party together. Glory. Where is heaven? You hear all sorts of ideas that people come up with. Oh, it's got to be far beyond this galaxy because we can't see it. Does that mean that everything you can't see doesn't exist? Far from it. Far from it. John 14 again, 1 to 3. I'm going to read the whole lot now. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or dwellings. I go to prepare a place for you. Now let's take that literally. There is a place in heaven being prepared for you if you're wearing that robe of righteousness right now. And if you're not wearing that robe of righteousness right now, if you've got it dirty, we have time to sort that out by the end of the meeting. And we have this place which is being prepared for us in heaven. It will be a glorious place. It will be nothing like anything on earth. You know, I believe that if we're troubled this morning, it's because we're gazing too much on this world. We've not got heaven in mind enough. Because when we've got heaven in mind, we live according to the power and the joy and the peace and the glory of heaven right here and now. We won't be worried about Brexit, whether we leave or we don't leave. We've got a glorious mansion in heaven. Hallelujah. Well, I'll finish my sermon first. The Bible talks in many places about heaven as a very real place with very real people, as real as you and me. Revelation 21, we'll have a look at it later. But it likens heaven to a great big city, the New Jerusalem. And its splendor is described in great, great detail. Of course, it also lists the people who are not going. So when we come to read it, I suggest we take note of just a couple of verses. Most of it is about this glorious place. And you know what? We will not just be visitors. We will not be aliens in another land. The Bible says we'll be citizens. Citizens. I know some of you have waited a long time for British citizenship. And it's a prize, isn't it? A real prize for you. Well, Luke, we're going to get heaven citizenship. We've got it if we're in Christ this morning. It says in Philippians 3:20, for our conversation or citizenship is in heaven, from where also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It also says in the scripture, or gives us to know, that the moment we die in this earth, we are translated to heaven. Luke 23:43, Jesus speaking to the thief on the cross next to him. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today. Immediately. Immediately. Transported. When my wife died, the minute after, she was with Jesus. And the Lord gave me to believe she was helping get the place ready for me. I'm not going yet. Don't worry and don't clap. We don't know exactly where it is, but I think it's as close as if I was in the same dimension. I could reach out and touch it. You see, there is a scientific subject called quantum mechanics, which I know a little bit about, but not a lot. And one of the interpretations of quantum mechanics is called the many worlds interpretation, which supposes, for the sake of the calculations, that there are many universes existing simultaneously in the same space at the same time in the great void. So, heaven can be right here. But we've just got to have that switch that only God can do, and we'll be in it. It's right here. Sometimes, don't you feel, when you're in a quiet place, a beautiful place, or when you're with lovely people, there's something special. You can feel something extraordinary coming in. A peace, a joy, a happiness. Hebrews 12 says this, but you are come near, come near. The Greek word is come near to. Unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, or, another translation is, festive gathering. Now, general assembly sounds like some dry old political meeting, doesn't it? But festive gathering is much more to your liking, isn't it? Amen. And the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jews, Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. What's the passage saying? It's telling us that heaven is so close we could reach out and touch it. And being so close, I believe, if our minds are in heaven, it will touch the quality of our life right here and now. And I won't see people coming into church with long faces that are touching the floor. Maybe you don't want to be as mad as me, but there we are. We are not far from the angels. No, the angels are helpers that God has created for what? To serve us, to help us, to do things for us. We're not very far from our loved ones in heaven. I'm not that far from Audrey. We're not that far from God who cares about us. We're not that far from Jesus who died for us. Heaven is a real place, and it's not that far away. In fact, heaven is near for all those who are born again of the Spirit of God. So what's heaven like? I always ask questions. It's not wrong to ask questions. Linda was giving me the third degree while I was away. We tend to compare with what we know. But if we tend to compare heaven with this world, even the best of this world, you've got no idea. It is something beyond human understanding. It's going to be so wonderful and so beautiful. Heaven is so much better. What was that chorus, Jean? Heaven is better than this? I bet. Sheep gold in a land where I never grow old. Come on, let's do it again. Better than this. Great heart, joy and bliss. Says it. Better than this. Hey! Amen. You see, it bursts out all over all the time, heaven. Are you going to share it with us? Or is it just for you alone? Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Heaven is so much better than anything we've ever experienced. I don't care where in the world you've been. Heaven is better. You know what? God lives there. It says in Psalm 33, God looks from heaven. God, the Father, the creator of everything that's beautiful, he looks from that place. Wow. Jesus is there right now. That's where he went when he finished his work on earth. That's where he is, not very far away. You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven, this same Jesus is there in heaven. The Jesus who loved us so much and gave all his life for us, who had a heart that was so big, could bring every one of us into that heart and love us and love us and love us. You need love, turn to Jesus. John 14, we keep returning to that chapter, but in my Father's house, it's where Father lives. It's the Father. Sometimes we think God is remote, but how about calling him Father? Because that's how he wants to treat you, as a father, a loving father. It was a city designed and built by God, so the plumbing will work. Glory! It says in Hebrews 11:16, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now, this is going to be some city because I know I'm going to like it. I don't usually like cities. Some pass the test, and I will go again, but most of them I don't like. But this city I know I'm going to like because God has made it. It's got to be the most beautiful place that there is. Let's have a look at the description in Revelation 21, just to read a few verses. From Revelation 21, I'm going to read from verse 10 to verse 21. And this is John speaking, John the disciple. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates, and the wall of the city that had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lies foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysotile, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, and tenth chrysoprase, and 11th jacinth, and 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Isn't it a magnificent place? I can't quite visualize it, but you know what we considered to be very valuable here, gold, you're going to be walking on it. And jewels, they're going to be scattered everywhere. Everywhere. But I just want to read a verse from the end of chapter 21, because we need to take note. Whilst I'm full of joy and I want you to be joyful, I've got to give you warnings as well that are in Scripture. Verse 27 says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So to get into this wonderful place, your name has to be in the register of life in heaven right now. I think I've time to give this little story. There was a man, a really good man of God. He was a really perfectly behaved Christian. But he had one weakness. He was rich, and he liked to hold on to his riches. He didn't like them out of his sight. So one day he negotiated with God, who normally said, you can't take anything with you, just you. That's all that goes to heaven. But this little old man managed to persuade God to let him take one suitcase. So after a bit, God relented and allowed him to take this little suitcase, and off he went. When the call came, and Peter let him in and said, Peter said, well, look, you can't bring any luggage. There's no luggage in heaven. Oh, but I've got a special dispensation. So Peter went to the records and had a look, and sure enough, there was the record of God saying, this man can have an exception, just one suitcase. But Peter said, well, Luke, I've got to look inside, you know, the customs union and all that sort of stuff. And so he opened the case, and it was full of gold bricks. But Peter looked at this little old man, very puzzled, and he said, well, why have you brought paving stones to heaven? Was it worth it? Now, it's a great place, a place of everlasting joy and peace. There are no problems there. It will satisfy everyone. Do you know what? If you're a doctor, you're out of a job. If you're a nurse, you're out of a job. You can have a rest. Because there's no sickness in heaven. There's no hospitals. There's no funerals. Don't go into the funeral business. It's limited. You know, while we're here in this life, we're absent from Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. The moment we cast off this carriage, not my jacket, me. I can't get hold of me. There's no bulging bits. The moment we cast it off, we're with Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? No missed flights, nothing like that. Can't get the wrong connection because he takes you straight there. Glory. But we know each other in heaven. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 12 says, "Now we see but a pure reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." The way God knows us, we will know God and we will know each other that way. You can hide things from me. Not always, but you can hide things from me, and I can hide things from you. But in heaven, we will know each other. We will know the level of joy that's in each other's hearts. There'll be no sadness, so we won't be looking for any juicy bits. There won't be. There'll just be levels of joy and love. We're going to have such big hearts. I'll come on to that in a little bit. I had a concern when I was studying this. It says in Luke chapter 20, verse 35, "But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage." I still love Audrey. I guess I always will. And I'm looking forward to the reunion. But it says plainly, we'll not be married. And it puzzled me for quite a while. But the one thing I do know is that with God, everything is always better. It's onwards and upwards. It's better and better and better. So how did I deal with this issue? Well, one thing I know is that our state in heaven is going to be better than this. Got to be. So what can be better than being married to a lovely wife? Well, I waited on God and waited on God, and then suddenly it just popped into my heart and mind at the same time. You know, the thing that cements a human marriage after the days of procreation, to put it nicely, the cement is this deep emotional affection that we build for each other. That feeling that we would defend our spouse to the death. We love her. And when she's not there, or vice versa, when the husband's not there, there's a big hole. That's what holds us together when the excitement of sex has gone. There's got to be something special. And the Lord said, your heart will become so big in heaven, so expanded that you will be able to have that kind of emotional attachment to every person in the body of Christ. We will love each other with a perfect love. Got to be wonderful. Really is. God is busy probably expanding your heart now. As Jackie Pullinger said in a recent magazine that we had, the only way your heart is expanded is by being broken down here. So if you've got something heartbreaking at the moment, don't worry about it. God is expanding your heart. You might even have room in it for me. Now, looking at us as a whole, I do believe that we are not always going to have one great big party. I believe the mansions are there for a purpose. Families live in mansions, don't they? And we're going to have smaller groups. But that won't exclude the bigger groups. Now, some people have a family and that's all there is. There's nobody outside of it. Everyone's excluded. But in heaven, that won't be the case. We'll have our little group that we're closer to, but we'll have room for everybody else. Above all, we're going to live in complete harmony. I'm not going to upset anybody. What will we do in heaven? You know, some people have some weird ideas. They're going to sit on clouds just twinkling their harp, and an angel will be putting grapes into their mouth. Well, none of it. That wouldn't suit me one iota. I like to be up and about and out and doing things. Well, I'm glad it really isn't like that. First of all, I guess we're going to do to perfection the things we're already doing concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. We will worship without distraction. How many telephones go off when we're worshiping? There won't be any in heaven. You won't need them. We'll know each other's hearts. We will serve God without exhaustion. Yeah, that's what you want this morning, isn't it? Bless her, Lord, bless her. We'll fellowship closely without fear. The past will be gone. It will no longer scar us. We'll learn new things without fatigue. We won't get tired. We'll speak all the languages of all the angels wherever they're from. I will rest without boredom. Secondly, you know what? I don't know whether you've ever noticed, but human beings are unique in two aspects. The animals don't have these characteristics. We have great curiosity and we have great creativity. Now, cats do have a bit of curiosity, but they soon get tired. And some of the monkeys use tools, but not very well. The great art comes from human beings, the paintings, the sculptors, the beautiful gardens. And you know what? He's going to satisfy our curiosity. There's a universe to go and explore. There is. Why did he make it if he didn't make it for us? Oh, yeah, there's going to be plenty to do. And there are the things that we've tried to do on earth and failed. There can be no failure in heaven. We're going to make great music together. We're going to produce the finest art that's ever been known. We're going to design magnificent gardens. That's me and Steppy. And I'm going to play the finest smooth jazz guitar that you've ever heard. Well, heaven? Well, it'd be just heaven. It'd be fantastic. Don't miss out, folks. Don't miss out. Are you ready? Oh, are you ready? Or is your garment soiled this morning? Are you wearing it resplendent, perfectly clean? Are you ready for that handsome young prince to snatch you up and carry you away? Yeah. Wow. That's what I like to hear. You know, the Bible says this in John 14:6. I am the door, that's Jesus speaking. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved. And in John 3:16, a simple verse, it's so well known, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This is what's on offer. What do we have to give up? I tell you, ourselves. The whole of ourselves to God. We've got to take off these filthy rags, which sometimes we call personality. And we've got to let Jesus give us his perfect robe, white robe. There on the rack, waiting for everybody. I believe when we have heaven in view, we walk through this earth on a path that is littered with jewels of opportunity. I don't believe I have to wait another 20 years or so before I die to see heaven. In fact, I think we're all going to be caught up very soon. I think it's imminent. But what about those garments, that garment of righteousness? Have you got the imperfection in it of doubt? Is there a stain of jealousy? Spot of disunity? A fading of disappointment? A tear of anger? This morning, you can have a bright, shining, new robe and wear it in magnificence, because that's what God has planned for every one of us. That we should walk this world in magnificence. Amen. I'm not going to finish just yet. I want everybody just to close their eyes and search their hearts. You've heard what I've said. I've been light-hearted in parts, but the whole of it is serious. Today is your day of decision as to whether you're going to go to this beautiful place called heaven or whether you're going to miss it. Yes, it will cost you everything, but the Lord is a beautiful person, and he wants to come and dwell in your heart. He wants to save your soul and take you to heaven, your rightful place, for that's where you were created for. Let's not have any jealousy or disunity or fear or any of these things spoil that resplendent and magnificent robe of white. Just turn to the Lord right now and put things right if they're wrong. It doesn't have to be difficult. Lord, help me. I just slip, Lord. Help me put it right. And if you've not been given one of those robes yet, I'm going to pray for you. I just want you to lift your hand and let me know that I should pray. If you want to receive that robe of righteousness, which is your ticket into heaven to dwell with God forevermore. Father God, we just bless you. Thank you. Mighty God, we glorify you. You can put your hand down now, thanks. Lord, we glorify you and we thank you, Lord, for those who either demonstrably or in their hearts, Lord, have asked you for that robe of righteousness. Mighty God, I pray that a change will come over their lives immediately. And for those of us, Lord, who were already wearing that dress, Lord, I pray that you'll give us the strength and the power to keep it clean and white. In the mighty name of Jesus, I command right now all these things that have come upon us and taken us away and have dirtied our dress. Let them be done away right now in the name of Jesus. Now may the peace and glory of the Lord dwell with every one of you. Amen. Thank you.